Hello, I'm Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, and I'm inviting you to join me on season 3 of my podcast, Duchess. In the show, we explore the most historic homes of the UK and Ireland and meet the inspiring women who lead them. This is Duchess. On the feet of the Yorkshire Dales and just above the Pennine Hills and Bronte towns of West Yorkshire, Broughton Hall is an estate that typifies British heritage. Broughton Hall is the home of the historic Tempest family, and for as long as it has stood, the Tempests have called it home. The family can trace their history back 1,000 years to the days of William the Conqueror. Given the fact that the Tempests have remained on this estate for such a long time, it is only fitting that the sight of Broughton evokes such a sense of antiquity. The stonework glows golden in the sunlight, and the front door is guarded by a towering Roman columns. But like many other homes that have a historic pedigree, you can see the march of time through its architecture. The house is Elizabethan, while the symmetry, stonework, and embellishments are Georgian. Even the formal gardens designed by Andrew Nesfield see statues, ponds, and parterres that speak to an 18th century sense of fashion. The feeling of being at Broughton Hall Estate is to feel at sanctuary. And that word is important, as the current custodians are transforming Broughton into a centre of spiritual and physical well-being. Paris Ackrill, with her partner Roger, the 32nd Tempest to live at Broughton, are redefining modern custodianship. Coming up in the episode, I quiz Paris on the trailblazing transformation from a traditional estate to a sanctuary, and I learn about the Victorian Wonder Woman who lived at Broughton, and we discuss some of the incredible farming and sustainability projects they are developing on their estate.
Where exactly in the country is your beautiful home, Broughton Hall?
Broughton Hall is in the very centre of the UK. It's an amazing place to be because we've got excellent transport links from Scotland, from the south.
And which county are you in?
So we're in Yorkshire.
Wonderful, Yorkshire girl. Yeah. You haven't always lived in Yorkshire, have you? Tell us about your background, because you've had an amazing journey to arrive there at Broughton Hall. Tell us a little bit about it, Paris.
I was born in Birmingham, brought up just outside Birmingham until my parents moved to the Cotswolds when I was 16. My ancestors are very humble, working class people. So some of my ancestors were farmers, stonemasons, plumbers. My great-grandfather worked in a coal mine. My father was from the north of Wales and my mother's family from Birmingham, and they met in Birmingham. So my father was born and raised in a two-up, two-down house in Towan in Wales. And he kind of broke through. He was an amazing entrepreneur and he wanted to give me lots of possibility and a good education so I could really have the freedom to do what I wanted in the world, and that I wouldn't have to sort of struggle like he had to and work as tirelessly as he did. And so, yeah, I went to Cheltenham Ladies College at 11, which gave me a really well-rounded education, which serves me well here at Broughton.
That's amazing. Now, Towan, for those listeners who don't know where it is, I know exactly where Towan is. And any listeners who haven't been to the Welsh coast, you're missing something big time. It is a beautiful part of the British Isles and so unspoiled. And can I just say one other link that we have is We're both Welsh, or we have Welsh blood. I'm 85% Welsh. And secondly, I may have played you in lacrosse because I went to school at Ellerslie in Malvern, and Cheltenham Ladies College girls, my best friend Louise Davis, back from my valley, she went to Cheltenham and she was told by the headmistress, Cheltenham Ladies girls are going to be leaders of our country. So I guess that's exactly what you're doing. You're leading us forward in a different journey, which we're going to hear about today, which is so exciting. So at first, I'd just like to talk about your lineage, because the Tempests have been at Broughton Hall, I believe, for 1,000 years. Can you believe that? 1,000 years. How did they arrive at Broughton Hall? And speak a little, if you would, about some of the important figures that have been in Broughton's history.
It's difficult to know exactly how the Tempests came about here, but they've been living in the area for over 1,000 years. So it was generally thought that they came over in 1066 with William the Conqueror. And the first document with Sir Roger Tempest I was from 1097. But recently there was a document found of Sir Roger Tempest's father, which said that he was actually born in Yorkshire in 1032. So it's unclear whether the family came over with William the Conqueror, but it seems that some of them were here before that time in 1032. But the tempest obviously means storm. Hence, it was thought that they came over with William the Conqueror, maybe faced some storms on their journey, and then were given land here to look after. So they're one of the oldest Catholic recreant landed gentry families in the country.
So would you describe Broughton Hall as a spiritual place?
Absolutely. There's a very interesting history here. So the family are Catholic recusants, which means that they stayed Catholic throughout the Reformations. They refused to go to Church of England services. And so what this meant was we weren't allowed to keep horses. They actually had to apply for permits to travel beyond 5 miles beyond the estate. And Oliver Cromwell actually took over the house at one point, and some of the ancestors were hung, drawn and quartered at the front of the hall, and the family actually had to buy back the house from the government. So the Tempests were really martyrs for their faith. They were had so much faith and so much strength that they really committed themselves to staying Catholics. And there was always a chapel in the hall. And so there's been a service in the hall almost every day for 400 years. So there's amazing lineage and history there. And actually, Roger's late mother, Janet Tempest, she had a life dedicated to missionaries of charity, so Mother Teresa's work, and she was the national link for Western Europe, which means that she basically coordinated a lot of the work in Western Europe. She was a hugely inspiring woman and had a life of service, inspiring people, even when she had an accident about 17 years ago where she fell off a camel and had a terrible head injury and was wheelchair bound and wasn't really able to talk, but she continued to have this very strong faith, going to chapel every day and inspiring people with her peace, faith and love. And so there was a house before the current Broughton Hall, which was built in 1597, which I'll come on to, but the original house was burnt down by the family at Skipton Castle, and it was probably something to do with the Catholicism. And so the hall as it stands now was built in 1597, and this is a very interesting thing because 1597 was the only Fibonacci number in over 1,000 years. And so Roger actually built, say, 15 years ago, this beautiful Fibonacci spiral on one of the hills with some stones that he found on the estate. And each stone represents one generation from the family. And we decided to use sacred geometry and use the Fibonacci throughout our design to kind of incorporate nature as much as possible, because the Fibonacci and sacred geometry is nature's design. It's the mathematical equation similar to the golden ratio that you find everywhere in nature. And then we also have a Bronze Age stone circle on the top of the moor, which is an incredibly peaceful place. It carries a huge stillness. And we only found that a few years ago when we began our nature recovery program.
Unbelievable. So your husband is also called Roger.
Yeah, so there have been many, many Roger Tempests throughout time. Roger Tempest, my partner, is the 32nd generation in a recorded line dating back from the 11th century. So what's very unique to Broughton is that 32 generations have been passed down the male line through primogeniture, which might possibly be one of the longest lasting male succession lines in the UK. And Aya, our daughter, is the 33rd generation and may be the first female successor. So we feel like it's time for the feminine.
Oh, that's unbelievable. And how old is your beautiful daughter?
Almost 2.5.
So you have recently become a mum for the first time. Congratulations, Paris. It's such a
wonderful experience
being a mum, isn't it?
What
excites you about this prospect for your daughter on the estate? And what do you foresee for you and her could be the challenges?
Well, firstly, I think, you know, it's important to recognize how lucky we are living in a place like this. It's such a bubble of beauty and we have so many people coming through. It's such a dynamic and thriving atmosphere to be in. So we're spoilt with activities and adventures and wonderful people to meet. And I think we really hope that she's not affected by her responsibilities when she grows up, because Roger found out that he was inheriting the estate at the age of 7, which must have been an overwhelming and very strange concept. So we really hope that she gets to grow up with freedom. You know, it can be very intense with the amount of work and the amount of things that can happen in one day, but it's also so rewarding.
So Broughton Hall has been the home for some extraordinary women, one of which is your partner's very own great-grandmother, Eleanor. Can you tell us about this exceptional woman?
So Eleanor Blanche was born on a snowy day in the early 19th century, so hence the name Blanche. And she was a Victorian wonder woman who actually had her own woodwork room in the house, which still exists with all her tools there. And so she was a craftswoman and made the most beautiful, intricate fireplaces and cabinets, absolutely amazing and quite astonishing for her time, really. And it's very interesting, Roger's niece Daisy Tempest, who's Annie Tempest's daughter, actually works as a luthier now. So she's making guitars and working with wood. So it's very interesting to me how these skills and gifts travel through the family line. And she was also an amazing genealogist. We know so much thanks to her. She worked her whole life on working out a family's history and genealogy and did an incredible job. And actually some of her records are now in the British Museum, and we have a lot of them in our archive room, really beautifully hand-painted books of the lineage.
Yeah, that's amazing. So coming back to the present, how would you describe your role today, Paris, on your estate?
So Roger and I co-founded Avalon Wellbeing Centre together about 4 years ago. So Avalon is a completely state-of-the-art wellbeing centre, which has kind of become the heart of what we're doing here at Broughton. So Avalon consists of a beautiful pool suite with an organic shaped sauna and steam room. So I'm very interested in the effect of nature on the mind and how nature has a very calming effect on the mind. So we've built Avalon around biophilic principles. So we've incorporated ripple effects, a Fibonacci design, very soft, organic, earthy colors, and bringing in as much of nature as possible. So I'm actually sat right now in one of our studio spaces, which is a cantilevered space upstairs overlooking the wall garden. And it has glass down three sides of the room, overlooks the moor and then Utopia and the wall garden, as I said, and some woodland. And then downstairs, we have a larger studio space. We have a meditation pod, a soma dome, which is an individual meditation pod, therapy rooms, relaxation room, a conscious library, a little conscious store, and all kinds of delights for the mind, body and spirit.
That's amazing. And so many people coming out of this extraordinary period of time that we're having are needing and looking for, I'm sure, everything that you're doing so cleverly, Paris, at your home at Broughton Hall. So now Broughton Hall resides in some 3,000 acres of woodland and has many amazing gardens. Can you tell us about the breathtaking landscape and some of your favourite gardens on the estate?
So the estate is located on the foothills of the Yorkshire Dales, so it's incredibly beautiful. And when I moved up here, I was really so moved by the feeling of wilderness that you get here. It's kind of similar to Scotland in that way. And the estate is 3,000 acres, and it's made up of rolling meadow pastures, ancient and new woodland, heather moorland, wild reservoirs, and meandering rivers. It's a magical nature playground. And one of my favourite spots is the Grove, a small woodland next to the hall, which is full of magical yew trees, very, very old yew trees. And there's an 18th century waterfall in the Grove and some beautiful statues. And Roger's mother used to call it the Rosary Walk. And it's one of my quiet spots. And there's a beck that runs at the front of the hall. And it was a small stream that was canalized by Nesfield. And so that runs down into the 18th century waterfall. It's a very peaceful place.
That's wonderful. I'd love to go there. I think that's definitely a good place for a meditation. What is your favourite spot on the estate for when you want to return to nature and find that inner peace?
I think I would have to say it's sitting in the Bronze Age stone circle on top of the moor, because it carries such stillness, such peace. So I love going to sit up there on a day like today. It's very bright blue sky, spring day, and looking out over the dales. It's absolutely stunning.
Fabulous. And you have a lot of farming and agriculture at Broughton Hall. Can you tell us a little bit about this, Paris?
Yes, so we have 5 active farms, and there have been decades and decades of sheep farming on the estate. And we're very interested in regenerative farming, and we have an extensive nature recovery program. So sheep grazing actually had a big impact on the land here. It basically, throughout many years, that sheep compress the soil and have actually reduced perhaps the biodiversity on the land, because they're just keeping the grass down all the time. So we're, of course, supporting some of our farms to continue, but on the land that's maybe less desirable, so grade 3, 4, and 5 land, we're establishing a nature recovery program.
And just for our listeners' benefit, tell us about exactly what this entails, Paris.
So we're in a really exciting phase with our nature recovery program, which we've been working on for the last 3 years or so. We've planted 270,000 trees within the last 18 months. So last year we were England's largest tree planting program. And so we've planted 15 native species of broadleaf trees. And because the soil has been so compacted from sheep farming, it was really important that we actually planted some trees to help give nature that helping hand to get where it would get to naturally. So we're working with incredible specialists to help give nature a helping hand. So if it was left for some decades, just to help it get to where it would naturally get to. So it's kind of managed rewilding.
That's amazing. And just tell us a little bit about Slow the Flow, if you would, Paris.
So we're working with the Environment Agency with their natural flood management. And basically, because the grassland from the sheep farming is so compact, the water runs off it very, very quickly. So what I love about these natural schemes is we're looking to treat the root cause of an issue. So rather than putting in big concrete flood prevention schemes near towns, we're actually returning back to nature and doing things which will have less impact on the eye and actually treat the root cause of the issue. So this includes introducing leaky, woody debris dams in some of the smaller watercourses, the creation of earth dams on the deep gullies on the moorland, and the excavation of ponds and scrapes in selected areas to create wetland habitats. And what we're trying to do is to create a real mosaic of habitats. So it's not just all about the tree planting, but of course, all the vegetation on the highlands helps to slow the flow. The water, rather than just rushing off the land, is then able to move down into the soil and be picked up by the vegetation. But we're really creating a mosaic of habitats, from ponds and wetlands to woodlands.
Amazing.
When speaking to Paris, you get such a strong sense of creativity and devotion in everything that she does. It absolutely doesn't surprise me that she's playing such an important role in this fabulous transformation. Estates like Broughton are always meant to be where the local community gather. These homes are made for people. It delights me to hear that this reconnection with community is happening in such a positive and impactful way. Since we began Duchess the podcast, so many of you have reached out expressing the wish to make listening to Duchess a reality. We adore making this podcast, but we know nothing compares to experiencing these beautiful places for yourself. So, for people who want a once-in-a-lifetime experience, we partnered with the award-winning luxury travel company Abercrombie & Kent to bring our much-loved podcast to life. From guided tours, stays in grand rooms, fishing trips on the family lake, to private tours of beautiful gardens, our partnership with Abercrombie & Kent will enable you to experience Duchess, the podcast, for yourself from Inverary to Beaver and beyond. With Abercrombie & Kent, you can come and stay, visit and explore the houses that are featured in our series Duchess. Our partnership with Abercrombie and Kent will enable you to experience Duchess the podcast for yourself with your own tailor-made itinerary. For more information, visit abercrombiekent.co.uk/duchess. We'll put a link in the show notes. This is just a quick reminder that you're listening to Duchess, hosted by me, Emma Rutland, and this is a podcast produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. Coming up, I ask Paris more about her spiritual journey, and we discuss the stunning landscape that surrounds her home. But first, I wanted to get a better understanding on the architecture and design of Broughton Hall.
So Broughton Hall is a Grade 1 listed 16th century mansion with absolutely stunning architecture. Tell us a little bit about the history of its construction and some of the different styles, Paris.
So the house is an Elizabethan construction enveloped in Georgian 19th century elaborations of pale golden stone. The Grade 1 listed hall dates back to 1597 and combines the work of several architects, including the renowned William Atkinson, who was also responsible for the impressive Durham Cathedral. So the original gable building was built in 1597 after our friendly neighbours had burnt down the previous house, the family from Skipton Castle. And as the family developed and grew and changed, the hall was Palladianized between 1780 and 1840. So Roger's great-great-grandmother had 15 children and needed more space for the children and all the people that supported her family. And the last addition was the beautiful conservatory in 1855, which is one of my favourite places in the hall.
So you, Paris, have been instrumental in turning Broughton Hall into a centre for well-being. Would you talk to us a little bit about your motivations for doing just this?
I've been very lucky. So since I was about 22, I started becoming interested in meditation and yoga and living a kind of cleaner life, looking a little bit more deeply into the decisions I made in terms of food and sustainability. And I just really loved meditating and I received so much from it. And my father actually was very ill from when I was about 18 to 23, and he passed away when I was 23. And from the day he died, really, I mean, I actually had a spiritual experience, an awakening when he died. And that really catapulted me really onto the spiritual path and spiritual journey. So in my early 20s, I was very much focused on asking big questions, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? So then when I met Roger, it was very much, we connected on this point. And when I started visiting Broughton, we had lots of discussions about how places like this can be a force for good in how we're treating the outer nature and how we're connecting to our inner nature as well. And Avalon grew, actually, it very organically evolved out of a need that we saw in the world. So Roger and I very much connect on the spiritual path and the spiritual journey. And that was really what drew us to each other and anchored us together as a couple, our sort of deep interest in the spiritual journey. And we talked and still do talk a lot about the state of the world and perhaps how the outer state has failed in the last century. And I think more and more people are needing non-dogmatic spaces to come back, to connect to themselves, to connect to source, to connect to their spirituality and whatever that means for them. So we're not missionaries here. You know, we're a non-dogmatic space where we're not pushing any particular philosophies onto anyone. So people can come and take what it is that resonates with them. So our kind of philosophy behind Avalon is this source, holonic source of light and source of life. And there are all these different religions and different paths which are all dotted around, all pointing towards the same thing. So we really carry this universalist approach where we hope that lots of different people can come together and celebrate in community and find transformation, peace and healing through the work that we do.
And that's all in the centre of this British Isle. So you can just imagine what you're doing, radiating out through all the ley lines that surround your fabulous home to the tentacles that spread throughout this extraordinary island that we all live on. Well done you. What a wonderful journey, Paris, and what an exciting part of the changes that we're all experiencing that you are obviously going to help lead the way on.
Well, what a beautiful way to put it, Emma. That's a really lovely analogy.
What are some of your favourite works of art on the estate?
So Annie Tempest, Roger's sister, has created the most beautiful non-dogmatic warrior head. It's an androgynous head. It's called Polythios. So it's many religions. So it's beyond kind of religion, but kind of resembles a Buddha head. And it's an androgynous face that's so incredibly peaceful. It's just at the front of Avalon. And it has Buddha, when he was enlightened, had 108 snails crawl up onto his head to protect him from the sun. And instead of snails, Annie's put little babies as the hare, which represents all the children of the world, and a dove to represent the connection to spirit. It's very, very beautiful. And also we have an artist in residence called Gary Breeze, who has created a door of transformation. So it's very similar to Andy Goldsworthy. And it's this beautiful arc which looks up to the moor. And we're very interested, well, I'm very interested in how we have kind of lost ritual and ceremony. And we're very interested in how we can bring that back to people's lives. Because ritual and setting intention and ceremony, being able to let go and release, are actually very important aspects of the human journey. And so this door of transformation is a place where you can commit to change at the beginning of the retreats we hold. And there's a bell which you ring to outwardly symbolize change.
Wow. I think we'll all be coming to your wonderful retreat at Avalon, Paris. That's amazing. Could you describe the room that this interview today is taking place in? The colour, the design and the decor. I can see three fascinating circles behind you with a sort of light radiating out behind.
So I'm sat in the Nest, which is a very quiet and beautiful studio space. And we've got a big roof window, which is open right now, and I can hear the birds tweeting away. It's a really still and peaceful space. And we've almost got 180 degrees of views looking over the woodland, the walled garden and Utopia, Dan Pearson's beautiful walled garden. And then looking up to the right, I can see the moorland where the Bronze Age Cairn Circle is situated. And it's a very pure and clean space where we hold all kinds of work. We've had Indigenous Mayan elders here to womb retreats, meditation retreats, to Hoffman Process and Path of Love, to deep psychotherapeutic retreats.
Sounds fabulous. There are some beautiful interiors around your hall. Just tell our listeners and myself about your favourite rooms.
There have been many different experts who have come and worked on the hall with Roger. It's taken Roger about 30 years to take the hall to where it is today. And when Roger first moved to the hall when he was 7, there are stories of snow on the billiard table and how his parents used to put blue tack in the ceiling to stop leaks and pour antifreeze down the toilets. And many of his friends just say how it's absolutely freezing. And there's a wonderful cartoon from Tottering By Gently of how when you're cold, you just throw another dog on the bed to keep you warm. And so the hall has been restored to its Elizabethan and Georgian roots with history from John Martin Robinson to make it really authentic. So Rogers restored the house with Britain's leading architects and interior designers, notably Alec Cobb, who recently had an exhibition at the V&A of his life's work, and the architect Digby Harris of Francis Johnson Partnership. And they've all done a phenomenal job, and the house feels like more of a warm and cozy home. It's not fusty or cold, that old sort of country house feel, although obviously that's what Roger grew up in. And we can sleep up to 40 guests, and each room has such a distinct feel, from the quirkiness of the old nursery and elegance of portico to wooden paneled Victorian oak bedroom to the grandeur of the north room.
And are you ever open to the public?
So we're quite unique in that way. So people can come on our retreats, or people can take over the house as their own house. So we're exclusive use. So you can take over the house for your own country house experience.
Perfect. What has your role at Broughton Hall taught you about heritage and about being a custodian?
With privilege comes responsibility.
That's about it, isn't it? So, and what are your ambitions for Broughton Hall in the future, Paris?
I really hope that we can be a lighthouse, a beacon of hope that shines out to anyone in need, and that people from all different walks of life and backgrounds can come and dip their toes in what we have to offer here, whether it's coming and joining a Friday night kirtan singing circle, to attending a retreat, or perhaps coming on an event on the land. I really hope that we can be a force for good and help to heal the world and be a place for transformation.
That's so amazing. Inspirational to us all. Sitting right there now, if you were able to speak to 6 generations in the past, what would you say to the lady of the house?
I would say thank you. We're here because of you. And I would also say that the Catholic faith continues.
That's amazing. And likewise, as now in the 21st century Paris, you are the lady of this house, what would you say to 6 generations in the future?
There's actually a prayer that I would love to share. This is a prayer from Shantideva, who was an 8th century Indian Buddhist monk, and it's one of my absolute favourites. May I be a guard for those who need protection, a guide for those on the path, a boat, a raft, a bridge, for those who wish to cross the flood. May I be a lamp in the darkness, a resting place for the weary, a healing medicine for all who are sick, a vase of plenty, a tree of miracles, and for the boundless multitude of living beings, may I bring sustenance and awakening, enduring like the earth and sky, until all beings are freed from sorrow and all are awakened.
Wow, that sent ripples down my spine. Thank you so much, Paris Ackrill, for your amazingly gracious and uplifting talk from Broughton Hall today. I'm quite sure all your dreams will be fulfilled, and that you will pass that baton right on, not just to your daughter, but generations of people who pass through your door. God bless you, and may your day and life be filled with kindness and happiness.
Oh, thank you so much, and to you too, Emma.
Something that should never be forgotten about stately homes is that, yes, they are places of history. They are places where treasured heirlooms reside, and they can often transport you back in time. But they've always been centres of innovation, where the latest architectural taste of the time was explored, where some of the most advanced technology was used. Stately homes both speak to the past, but they look to the future. I'm overjoyed to hear that this tradition is being continued in estates like Broughton Hall. Paris, thank you for bringing this tradition to life once again in your work, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast and speaking so wonderfully about all that you're doing. Thank you all for listening at home this week.
Next week on the podcast, we will have a very special episode to celebrate Queen Elizabeth's Platinum Jubilee. In the episode, we will be welcoming back one of our favourite guests on the podcast, Lady Derby, where she shares some of her favourite stories involving Her Majesty the Queen. We will also be taking a look back at some of our favourite clips that feature anecdotes and stories relating to the royal family. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
With Her Majesty the Queen's Platinum Jubilee this year, we want to mark this momentous occasion by celebrating women in public service and heritage today. Join me, Emma Rutland, and my dear friend, Nicholas Coleridge, CBE, Chairman of the Victoria and Albert Museum and former President of Condé Nast, at Beaver Castle on the 30th of June for a live Q&A with some of my previous guests on Duchess, celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee and the third series of Duchess. The Q&A will be followed by a scrumptious lunch in the state dining room at my very own Beaver Castle, where you can meet the incredible women who've inspired and appeared on Duchess. You will also have the opportunity to tour the castle and gardens for free. Hurry, there is only 100 tickets on sale for this exclusive event. You can find more information about this event on our website, www.duchessthepodcast.com. I very much look forward to welcoming you to Beaver very soon. With summer approaching and spring in full swing, picnics and walks in Bluebell Woods can return. We've been busy designing a range of high quality, sustainable products perfect for taking on your picnic this summer. Handmade in the UK and designed by me, our products are helping to diminish the use of single-use plastics and bringing you elegant, sustainable alternatives. To view our range of gorgeous products, go to our website, www.duchessthepodcast.com, or through our Instagram account at Duchess the Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. There are just a few quick notes before we go. Make sure you follow Duchess wherever you listen to podcasts. One of my favourite things about the podcast is learning more about you and hearing your stories. So please write to me, tell me about your own lineage, and share with me the women who've inspired you in your life at duchessthepodcast.com. You've been listening to Duchess, the podcast presented by me, Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. From One Fine Play, James Bishop is the executive producer, Kasra Ferruzia is the editor and audio visual engineer, Connor Foley is the producer and researcher, additional creative support from Selena Christofides. Lady Violet Manners, my daughter, is executive producer with additional support from Henry Merrick. Thank you so much for listening to Duchess.